Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am going to be your host for the day. This is AJ, the moderator, and joining me today, we have our guy behind the scenes, full effect, D-Say. What's going on, D-Say?
What's up going on, man?
Not too much. Appreciate you joining me today. Our guys, Nate and Tone, are both out of town this week, so they will be out of office for this specific episode. So we're going to do the best we can here to give you guys a good episode. It's season 3, episode 2. We're coming off of our first week in the NFL, so we're going to talk about week 1. We're going to give you guys the lines. We have Nate and Tone's picks for you guys this week, so we'll talk about all that good stuff. All in all, before we get too deep into it, week 1, what'd you think? Did you enjoy it? Are you happy football's back, brother?
I mean, I enjoyed it, but I made the mistake of not following Tone and Nate, and I went 1-7 on my bets, so that was pretty disappointing.
Okay. Well, you know, me and Dakota were not the sports betting experts. That's why we do not give out takes. That's why we leave that to Tone and Nate. They are the experts, but I would say we are experts at talking football. We're pretty good at it. I think we know what we're doing as far as talking about the sport itself. So that's what we're going to do today. Before we do that, though, we got our what did he say. We're going virtual, so I don't have the sounder. But I do have the question here. And we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes. After Sunday's 5-touchdown week 1 performance, Pat Mahomes now has 18 touchdowns and 0 interceptions in week 1 games in his career. I'd say he is the week 1 GOAT. I don't think anyone could really argue that. But the question for what did he say this week is, which NFL quarterback holds the record for most passing touchdowns in a week 1 game? So, as always, appreciate D-Say for throwing out the trivia questions week by week. We'll go ahead and be sure to get back to that before this episode's over. And let's go ahead and jump into the week 1 recap. As Dakota said, he did not take the plays, unfortunately. But Nate and Tone pretty much did a really solid job, especially for week 1. I feel like you never really know what you're going to get. It's a mixed bag. It's kind of like practice. You're kind of feeling out every team and seeing where they're at. Unfortunately, for the boys, there was 3 teasers played, and they went 0-for-3 on the teasers. But straight bets pretty much hammered it. Nate had the Dolphins -3, Lions +4, Chargers -3. Nate went 3-2 for the week. Our guy Tone had the Steelers +6.5 and the Falcons +5.5. So Tone went 2-for-2. You know, 6-4 collectively as a group. So hopefully you guys weren't like D-Say and you did follow our picks. I'd say that they did a really good job, and I feel like they're gonna bring it back this week. Yeah, so there's really not too much more to recap. It was just week 1. Weekly is yearly, obviously. So let's go ahead and jump into the lines. We have week 2, Thursday night football, and we were talking about this a little bit, Dakota. I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing. Thursday night football is going to be kicking off. They're starting their partnership with Amazon, and these games are going to be on Amazon Prime moving forward. So sucks if you don't have Amazon Prime, but the good thing is, you know, we are so accustomed to seeing games like Lions versus Jets, Texans versus the Commanders. You know, we've always gotten bullshit games on Thursday nights. And now with this partnership with Amazon, we're getting treated with fantastic games. And starting it off, we have Justin Herbert versus Patrick Mahomes, possibly the game of the week. Both are 1-0. We have the Chargers +4. Traveling to Kansas City to take on the 1-0 Chiefs. Over under for this game It's 54.5 points. Both our guys are taking a pass on this game, but as a whole, I mean, what do you think about this game? What do you think about these two teams last week?
Well, it is great for people that have Prime, this whole deal, but my Prime ends in about a week. I've had for like 5 years and decided not to renew it, of course.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I probably won't be watching that. Chiefs are great week one. You already mentioned Pat Mahomes, the week one GOAT. He was getting everyone involved. He had 9 different people that caught a pass. They even had the run game going. They got Isaiah Pacheco, the rookie. Do you know where he went to college by chance?
No idea.
Well, he went to Rutgers, and I only know this because I was stumbling across old box scores yesterday, and a little teaser for the mini-sode coming tomorrow, or coming in a couple days. So that's how I know that. But as far as the Chargers, they also look good. Herbert had the second highest pass rating in week one, only behind Mahomes. Defense played well. They forced Derek Carr 3 interceptions. But I did just see about 5 minutes ago, Keenan Allen is out for this game. So that is huge, I think.
Definitely a big loss. And that could sway that line a little bit. This +4 was from earlier this morning. He's since been declared out. So I wouldn't be surprised if that +4 jumped up maybe a half a point, even a point total. So we'll see. I think it is going to be a good game. A great way to kick off Thursday night football. So I'm really excited about that. Jumping over to Sunday, 1 o'clock, we have the 0-1 New York Jets. They are +6 points and they're going to be traveling to Cleveland to take on the Browns. The new 50-yard line and elf in the middle, over-under for this game is 40 points. First and foremost, what do we think about the elf? Do we love it? Do we hate it? Where are you at on this?
I don't really care. I'm not a Browns fan, so I'm not too excited about it. I know Tone said he loved it, or maybe say hate it. I don't know. I don't really care for it.
I can't figure out if I hate it or love it. I don't know. Interesting game. The Browns are looking to go 2-0 for the first time since. Any ideas? A little trivia for you.
2-0. See, they haven't started 1-0 since 2006 or 5. I would have to say 1989.
Okay. 1993.
Mm,
Coach Belichick was the head coach for the Browns the last time they went 2-0. So they have a really interesting opportunity to make some history, I guess. You know, I mean, I would love to see it personally. The boys both took a pass on this game as well, but Jets looked horrible. They were playing the Ravens. We watched the Browns game together. Week one reactions and thoughts towards the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, they had the run game going, but that's no surprise. It's pretty much like Baker never even left, but a win's a win, I guess. They were underdogs in the game, so, I mean, that's positive.
They covered. Yeah. Gotta love a cover. Gotta love a cover. Do you expect them to go 2-0 versus the Jets?
Yes. The Jets let Joe Flacco throw the ball 59 times in week one. It's going to be a rough year for the Jets, at least until Wilson comes back. Who even knows if he's going to be good. But I would like to point out that Breece Hall was exactly who I said he was. He's a fraud. I'm talking to you, Tone. I know it's your guy. Oh. Michael Carter played well as a rookie last year, and there was no reason for them to try to replace him.
All right. All right. In game two, we have the 1-0 Washington Commanders. They are +2.5 points. They're going to be traveling to Detroit to take on the 0-1 Lions. Over-under for this game is 49 points. And I feel like this is an interesting game. We have two lower-tier NFC teams, neither one with high expectations, but honestly, both opened the season and looked great. I mean, Washington won with Carson Wentz, and Detroit, they did lose, but they did cover. They were getting smacked around, and they had a big comeback and played very tough against the Philadelphia Eagles. So no plays on this game from our boys, but what do you think about these two teams?
Well, the Lions look great in the fourth quarter. They almost completed a huge comeback against the Eagles. Their offense looked pretty good. DeAndre Swift, he averaged nearly 10 yards a touch. I think he had like 18 touches. Their defense looked rough, though. There's not much improvement there. They had a bottom five defense last year. Hasn't really gone up since. But Commanders, they looked all right. Carson Wentz was decent, but he did throw a couple interceptions. If you count Curtis Samuel as a running back because he was second on the team in rushing, Wentz threw 27 completions, and 18 of them were to running backs. So a lot of checkdowns go on that offense.
All right. All right. I saw a big swing on Carson Wentz as far as MVP odds go for any long shot bettors out there. He was plus 16,000. After week one, he jumped up to plus 4,000. So really huge swing. I kind of surprised me to see that, but you never know. Maybe they're getting the Philadelphia Eagles Carson Wentz in Washington.
It was actually surprising. All the great rookie receivers we had, Dotson from Washington, he actually looked the best out of all in week one.
He did look really good. He looked solid. Next game up, we have the 1-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are minus 3, and they're going to be traveling to New Orleans to take on the 1-0 Saints. The over-under for this game is 44. And we do have a play on this game. Not only do we have a play, but we have our first luck it in of season 3. And if anyone was listening to the podcast last week, or if you saw our TikToks, you're aware of the trend that Tone pointed out. Divisional home underdogs. Last week, there was 3 of these situations, and all 3 went 3-0. So they're going to continue to ride this trend. The Saints are a divisional underdog versus Tampa Bay, and Nate and Tone are both taking the Saints plus 3. What do you think about that play? Do you like the Saints this week?
I do. I wasn't impressed with Tampa Bay last week. Other than Leonard Fournette, they actually did horrible. They probably have the best receiving core in the league, and they relied all on the running game against Dallas. But as for the Saints, they're the one team that has Brady's number since he's in Tampa. They've beaten him 4 out of 5 times, the only one being in the playoffs when the year they won it all. And none of these games, a lot of these games haven't even been close. Last time they played, Saints shut them out 9-0. That was only 3rd time in Brady's career that that's happened.
Interesting. I mean, they definitely have their number. If you listen to the NFC Outlook episode we had a few weeks ago before the season started, Nate actually took the Saints to win the division. He said that he was going to be taking the Saints every time that they play the Bucs and taking those points. So you love to see it. It's good to see our first luck at the end of the year. I think I'm going to hammer the Saints plus 3 myself. So if you're listening and you're looking for a play, that could be a potential play to take this week. Next up, we have the 0-1 Carolina Panthers. They are plus 2.5 points. They're going to be traveling to New York to take on the surprisingly somewhat tough-looking Giants. Over-under for this game, 43 points. First question, obviously, the Panthers. We watched this game against the Browns. Baker Mayfield in the blue and black. What'd you think about Baker and the Panthers?
You know, Baker being Baker. His first half was absolute trash up until the last couple plays. He had a bunch of swatted passes. Every time there was a swatted pass, we're like, oh, there it is again. And he's led the league since he joined in passes that are swatted. And personally, I don't think Christian McCaffrey is going to fit in this offense. Sorry for all the people who picked him up in fantasy. I think that's why the Giants are favored, honestly, because McCaffrey does not fit and he's going to get shut down.
Well, it's interesting because I did have a talking point here. We do have Saquon Barkley versus Christian McCaffrey, which is honestly a fantasy football dream matchup, the way that McCaffrey's played when healthy and the way Barkley's played when he's healthy. We saw what Barkley did last week. I'm interested to see if he continues that trend or if that was just a 1 week explosion. So you're thinking Barkley outperforms McCaffrey Sunday then?
I think if everyone stays healthy on the Giants, they have a lot of young talent. I think they could make a little bit of noise, not too much. Probably not make playoffs, but they could probably win 8-9 games. But as you said, they're always hurt. Barkley is the only run back that's hurt more than Christian McCaffrey.
True. All right, we do have 2 plays on this game. Nate is actually going to be going with the Giants minus 2.5 points. And Tone is going to go ahead and drop the first teaser of week 2. He's taking the Panthers plus 8.5 points. And he's going to be teasing that with the Bengals minus 2 points. And he's actually throwing a 2-unit play on this teaser. So big teaser for our guy, Tone. Next up, we have the 0-1 New England Patriots. They are minus 1.5 points. They're traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the 1-0 Steelers. Over under for this game, 40.5 points. Mac Jones is expected to be back for this game. Steelers are coming off of a wild victory last week. What do you think about this game?
Until I find out if Mac Jones is playing for sure, I would not put anything on this. Even if he does play, week one, he had a adjusted QBR of 9.7, by far the worst in the league. And back injuries are usually not good, so that's definitely going to affect his play.
Definitely, it's a good point to kind of contradict all that. Our guy Nate is taking a play on this. He is going with the Patriots, minus 1.5 points. And it's actually the NLOD 2-unit play. So he's rocking with the Patriots on the road versus Steelers. Something to watch for. This is a game that me and you just absolutely sweated through Sunday. What a game it was. Steelers, Bengals. And we're not the betting experts, but we do also take plays ourselves. And the best part about sports betting is the journey that you take after you submit that bet. And man, what a journey it was. Just to quickly recap, I threw in a live money line bet for the Steelers right at the end, right towards the fourth, because it was over. Bengals had to go all the way. Knew there was no chance of them doing so. Unfortunately, they did. They scored a touchdown with 1 second left, but then they missed the extra point. I'm still alive, baby. Goes into overtime. Steelers get the ball first. Feeling great. They don't score. Bengals get the ball next. I know it's over. They get in the field goal range, miss an easy field goal. I'm still alive. Steelers get the ball. They miss a field goal. It's over. It's getting in the tie. I took the money line. So it's a loss. Bengals somehow end up punting it. Steelers somehow get back down there. And I think with like 2 seconds left, they kick a 50-something yarder to win. That might be the sweatiest play of the year. So, I mean, what a ride. Appreciate the Steelers with that Black Air Force energy pulling that out for me. What a ride.
Yeah, they have a lot of injuries going on. I think that's why New England's favoring in this game.
Yeah.
TJ Watt, luckily for them, he's only out 6 weeks, I think. And Najee Harris is questionable. He said he's going to play, but not sure how much at right now.
Okay. Good points. Next up, we have the 0-0-1. Indianapolis Colts. They're minus 4 points, and they're traveling to Jacksonville to take on the 0-1 Jaguars. Over on their first game, 47 points. Both their guys are taking a pass on this play. But the Colts last week, with just an absolute stinker of a game, they are a team that, I mean, I at least predicted to win their division. What do you think about the Colts? Do they get back on track this week, or do they just absolutely suck this year?
This is their revenge game. The Jaguars knocked him out of the playoffs last year. Actually, it was Carson Wentz. He got his revenge last week. Now, time for the Colts to do the same. But honestly, I don't think there was a worse looking team in week one than the Colts. And on the other side, Trevor played probably his only good game of all last year against the Colts. So
okay,
we might see a repeat. But I do think Colts are going to get their revenge.
Okay. Also real quick, this is a game to consider as far as the tone or the trend that Tone mentioned. It's also another divisional home dog game. Jack's plus 4 at home against a divisional opponent. So if you're staying true to that trend, you may want to ride with the Jacksonville Jaguars to cover that game. Next up, we have the 1-0 Miami Dolphins. They are plus 3.5 points. They're going to be traveling to Baltimore to take on the 1-0 Ravens. Over-under for this game, 44.5 points. Question for you on this one, Dakota. We know that the Ravens are Nate's Super Bowl prediction team for 2022. Which team is DSA's Super Bowl prediction team?
I'm a boring guy when it comes to that. I think Bills are going to win it this year. We'll talk about them later, but they look so impressive.
Okay. Nice. That's a team I picked before the preseason, or during in the preseason. So I feel that. We do have a play this week. Nate is taking the Dolphins plus 3.5 points. He's not necessarily saying the Dolphins are going to win, but he's saying that they're going to cover. Dolphins covered for Nate, big week one. So he's looking to continue the wagon with the Dolphins. Next up, jumping to our 4:30 games, we have the 0-1 Atlanta Falcons plus 10.5 points. Traveling to LA to take on the 0-1 Rams. Over under for this game, 47 points. The boys are taking a pass on this game. But the Rams and Bengals, they both lost week one. Little trivia question for you here, another one. When's the last time that the Super Bowl winner and loser both lost in the opening week?
Gosh. The last loser was the Chiefs, but they played. Oh, man. Wait, was it New England and Chiefs? Was that 2019?
No.
Or it wouldn't have been New England Chiefs, but that was who the Chiefs lost to week one.
Okay.
Is that it?
No, no. We're looking for the last season where the Super Bowl winner and Super Bowl loser both lost week one the following year.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone besides that.
Well, it goes all the way back to 1999. The Falcons and the Broncos both lost week one after Denver beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl. So it's been a long time since that happened. Rams are starting 0-1. Obviously, they played the Bills, who we both think are going to be Super Bowl champs at the end of the year. Think the Rams bounce back this week?
I think they do, but their defense looked horrible. They had Josh Allen looking like Peyton Manning out there. He was just picking them apart.
And dunking on them.
Yeah, right. Falcons did impress me, though. Mariota wasn't bad. Harrison ran the ball great, and Drake London honestly looked pretty good.
Okay. Don't forget about Kyle Pitts.
He did not look good.
All right, next up we have the 1-0, unfortunately, Seattle Seahawks. They are plus 9, and they're traveling to San Francisco to take on the 0-1 49ers in a really weird game. Over-under for this game, 42.5 points. We do have two plays on this game. Tone is taking a pass, Nate's taking a pass, but Tone's taking two plays on this game. He likes San Francisco minus 9 points versus Seahawks. He's also taking the San Francisco team total over 26.5 points. So he's a big 49ers guy this week. He loves the Niners. Real quick to talk about this game, I want to ask you, pretenders or contenders? Because Seattle was expected to be a pretty trash team, to be honest with you, but they came out and they won. Now, I'm not sure if that's just because the adrenaline was pumping, Russ was back, they wanted to really beat him. The crowd was full of energy, but also the 49ers came in with high expectations and they lost to the Chicago Bears. So two teams who are expected to do two totally different things did the opposite. What do you think about these two teams, pretenders or contenders?
I mean, I'm so confused by this line. Plus 9, that's right. What? So you're telling me Denver is worse than the Bears? Because that would be just embarrassing.
Yeah, they low-key played that way, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Geno looked good. He looked like his college self. But as for Trey Lance, he looked like his high school self, showing why no one recruited his ass. Trey and Debo were the leading rushers on the team. And Elijah Mitchell, their starting running back, he won the IR. So I wouldn't really trust 49ers going forward.
All right. It's a team to keep our eyes on. It's always hard week one. You never know if it was just a filling out process or if that's the real deal. So we'll see how they play out. Next up, we have the 0-1 Cincinnati Bengals. They're minus 8 points. And they're at minus 8 because they're traveling to Dallas to take on the Cowboys, who are 0-1 without a starting quarterback. We all know Dak Prescott's going to be out for quite some time. Over-under for his game is 43 points. To talk about this game, my question for you is, do you personally believe in curses?
Somewhat, yeah. It depends on the curse.
Okay. So in NFL history, the Super Bowl loser has only made it back to the Super Bowl the next year 8 times. And of those 8 times, only 3 have won the Super Bowl, and 5 of the last 11 Super Bowl losers have missed the playoffs. So I'm curious, do you think the Bengals can bounce back this year? Do you see them going to the playoffs again, or do you see them kind of following trends with the curse?
That's not a fair question, honestly, or not a fair stat, because Buffalo lost 4 in a row, so they make up a lot of that. So that's just one team losing over and over.
Good point.
I don't think the Bengals get back. They looked horrible, especially Joe. He did not look good at all. 5 turnovers.
It did look rough. It did look rough. We have 2 plays on this game. Nate's going to be taking his first teaser, and he has the Bengals -2. He's going to be teasing that with his Minnesota Vikings +8.5. I really, really love that teaser. That's a good one. And then we already mentioned Tone's 2-unit teaser. He has the Panthers +8.5 to go with the Bengals -2. Up next, we have the 0-0-1 Houston Texans, fresh off of a tie against the Colts. They are +10 points, and they're traveling to Denver to take on the 0-1 Broncos. Over-under for this game is 45 points. And my guy, I know that Denver Broncos, that's your team. Impressions with Russ, impressions with Nathaniel Hackett.
Oh, man. Does Nate have a Minnesota tattoo? Do you know?
I don't believe so.
I think he does. So I'm the only member of the show with their team tatted on them. And I'm embarrassed of them. I'm thinking about getting that thing covered up. I'm joking. But you know what else is a joke? That 64-yard field goal at the end. I'm not so sure about this coach already. It's week one. But yeah. I think they'll bounce back. I'm excited to see what Russ can do. He didn't look too bad.
No, he didn't
Javonte
look too bad.
Looked great. Yeah, I mean, he had, 11 catches.
Looked really good. Looked really good. He was running hard. He was catching balls out of the backfield. I was really impressed with him.
Yeah, definitely. Judy looked good. Everyone looked good besides the defense, really.
Defense looked bad. Coaching was really bad. But I think they have potential to bounce back. I think they'll be a solid team this year. Next up, we have the – oh, I'm sorry. We also do have a play on that game. Nate is taking the Broncos and Texans under 45.
That's not a bad play at all.
Not a bad play at all. Next up, we have the 0-1 Arizona Cardinals, fresh off of just an ass-whooping. They are +6 points, and they're traveling to Las Vegas to take on the 0-1 Raiders. Over-under first game, 51.5 points. Both our guys are taking a pass on this one. These are two teams that I would say came into the season with high expectations, both starting 0-1. So unfortunately, that means one of these two teams has to start out 0-2. Which of these two teams does start 0-2?
Well, I know how much you hate Kyler and think he's overrated. True. I feel the same way about Marquise Brown. And without DeAndre Hopkins, I think Kyler is going to struggle to find people to throw to. His top receiver was, I don't know his first name, but Dortch. He's 5'7". That was his top receiver in week one. For on the other side, the Raiders, Carr and Adams, they didn't miss a beat. The old college teammates, they had 38 touchdowns in 2 seasons when they're at Fresno State together. And week one, Adams got 17 of Carr's 37 passes thrown his way. So I think they're going to keep that up. I think the Raiders are going to win this game.
All right. Jumping to Sunday Night Football, we have the 1-0 Chicago Bears. They are +10 points. They're traveling to Green Bay to take on the 0-1 Packers. The over-under for this game is 43 points. We have 2 passes on this game. But for this game specifically, last year we watched the Packers. They opened the season with a 38-3 loss to the Saints. That's when Aaron Rodgers infamously said to relax, everything will be okay. And then he proceeded to win the next 7 games in a row, 13 out of 17. And then he also went on to win the MVP. So this year they opened up the season with a 23-7 loss to Minnesota. Do you think we should expect that same bounce back from Green Bay and Rodgers, or is this going to be a different story?
Oh yeah, they're going to bounce back. There's no doubt about that. As we all know, Aaron Rodgers is part owner of the Bears. They haven't beat them since 2018, and he's played them 26 times. They've only beat them 4 times out of 26. Oof.
All right. All right. So we're expecting to bounce back from the Packers. And we are blessed with two Monday Night Football games this week. Interestingly enough, and they are going to overrun each other. I think the first game starts at like 7 and the next one starts at 8. So you're going to have to decide which one you want to watch at some point. But first up, we have the 0-1 Tennessee Titans, and they are plus 10.5 points, and they're traveling to Buffalo to take on the 1-0 Bills. Over under for this game, 49.5 points. Once again, we have two passes on this game. We talked about this earlier in the episode. The Bills, they are your preseason Super Bowl favorites. They're mine as well. Would you say Josh Allen's your preseason MVP favorite as well?
I mean, he's got to be. He looks so good in week one.
Definitely. I'd agree with that. As far as these two teams go, I mean, what were some thoughts? I mean, we kind of already talked about the Bills. Feel free to hit on that if you'd want. And also the Titans. What'd you think about both these teams?
Well, first of all, I want to bring something back. You were talking about sweaty games with the Steelers game. This matchup last year, I don't know. You have to remember how wild of an ending that was.
Yeah.
And how bad we were sweating.
Mm-hmm.
You needed Josh Allen to score 5 points on the final drive. Tennessee just scored a touchdown to take the lead with 2 minutes left.
Yep.
They kicked off. Isaiah McKenzie went 101 yards for the touchdown. You're texting me like, son of a – but it was called back.
Yep.
And then Josh Allen ended up scoring 6, and he got stuffed on the 2-yard line, so they lost. But you won that matchup by 1 point, that fantasy matchup. It was wild.
Yes, sir. It was wild. Probably the wildest week of fantasy football that week. So great, great sweaty cover as far as fantasy goes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the Bills are definitely going to cover that 10.5, though. Really? It's a lot, okay. So I see why Nate and Tone passed, but Titans just looked very bad for week one.
Very bad. And Henry did not really show up last week. Didn't seem to get the carries or the touches. And I think the secondary running back had a decent game, however. But
I mean, Henry had 80 yards, and then Hilliard, it looked like he had a decent game because he had 2 touchdown receptions that were like 2 and 3 yards.
Okay. So a fluke of some sort. You think Henry will bounce back this week?
Yeah, I think he will. We saw when Henry went down that Hilliard wasn't that good. So I think that was a fluke of a game by him.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump to our last game of the week. We have the 1-0 Minnesota Vikings plus 2.5 points, kind of surprisingly. They're traveling to Philadelphia to take on the 1-0 Eagles. Over under for this game, 51.5 points. As mentioned, Nate has a teaser on this one. Bengals minus 2, Vikings plus 8.5. And also, Tone is taking the Eagles minus 2.5 straight up. So, impressions regarding both of these teams?
Well, I'm impressed with Vikings. They look probably the most impressive team. Not the best team, but the most impressive team. They just absolutely stifled Aaron Rodgers. And they did whatever they wanted to on offense, whether it was throwing to Justin Jefferson or Dalvin Cook. He averaged about 5 yards a carry. He did well also.
All right. As far as the week goes, I would ask you, what's the game that you are most excited about? And then what's the game that you are least excited about?
Well, I mean, you mentioned that you have to pick that Monday night game because they overlap.
Yeah.
And honestly, that Vikings-Eagles game to me is probably the best game of the week.
Yeah, that's the game I was thinking myself.
Yeah, that's the one I'll be choosing. Even though I love Josh Allen, I think I'm going to be choosing that Vikings game.
Okay, cool. Is there one game this week that you think is the stinky game of the week?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's got to be Commanders Lions, right?
I don't know. The Denver game might not be that good, but the Jets Browns, it's got to be.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. That is going to be a stinky game. You're right. That's a good
point. Joe Flacco versus Jacoby.
All right. So we like the Monday Night Football game, Vikings Eagles as the game of the week. You're going to go ahead and take the Jets and the Browns as the stinky game of the week. You hate to see that, but hopefully it's an easy win for the Browns. Hopefully they go 2-0 for the first time since 93. I would love to see that personally. Let's go ahead and jump to our week two recap picks for everyone listening. If you're looking to make some plays this week, we'll start with Nate. He has 6 plays, 1 teaser, 5 single bets, and 7 units in total in play. We have the Saints +3, Patriots -1.5 points. That's the NLOD 2-unit play. We have the Giants -2.5 points, the Dolphins +3.5 points. He has a teaser, Bengals -2 with his Vikings +8.5 points. And lastly, he's taking the Broncos Texans under 45 points. Our guy Tone has 5 plays in place this week. It's going to be 1 teaser, 4 single bets, 6 units in play. He's taking the Saints +3, San Francisco -9. He's also taking the San Francisco team total under 26.5 points. Did I say over? Over 26.5 points. He's taking a teaser, Panthers +8.5 with the Bengals -2. That's a 2-unit teaser. Lastly, he's taking the Eagles -2.5 points. We have no head-to-heads this week, but we do have our first luck it in of season 3. 1 play, 1 straight bet for 1 unit. It's the Saints +3 points. And you said you're on board for the Saints +3 as well, Dakota.
I like it.
You like it?
They've dominated. Yeah, I like that.
You like it? I like it. I'm hammering it.
Well, last year they beat them 9-0, and I'm pretty sure that was the 38-3 game also.
Yeah. Hammer yes, it.
They dominated them last year.
Absolutely. Hammer that. Let's keep that trend going. So, yeah, shout out to our guys, Nate and Tone. I know they're out of town. Appreciate them sending our picks in. I apologize if they're not available to give the listeners their expert opinions as to why they placed those picks. Hopefully you enjoyed our football talk throughout these games and these plays. But they'll be back next week to really fill you in on what plays are taken next week and the reasons why. But before we close out the episode, as always, we do our NFL DraftKings week by week. Appreciate everyone who got in last week. We had 20 people in the room. Shout out to our DK week one winner. I don't know people by their DK names, but it was just simply Big Guy 1027. Had a solid ass squad. So shout out to him for winning the cash. My team was absolute doo doo. But
they gained better from 17 or?
No, I think well, I finished 17th.
Was after the 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it finished around 17th. So, you know, that's why I let Tone and Nate do the picks and I just moderate. I'm not the expert by any means, but I do my best. You know, I like playing DraftKings. It's fun to play along. Nate and Tone did send their rosters in this week. So I'm going to go ahead and give out Nate's picks. Dakota's going to go ahead and read off Tone's picks and we'll go in order. We'll start with quarterback. Nate's going with Derek Carr, 6.2K. And, you know, that's a nice price for your quarterback right there in the middle. He's someone who's going to get some solid stats. As you mentioned, Dakota, he's got Devontae Adams to throw it too. So Derek Carr at 6.2K.
All right. And Tone is going to luck that in. He also has Derek Carr. Coming off a good week, going against Cardinals defense, who look like trash against Mahomes. Good pick.
Absolutely. Look that in. Cha-ching. At running back, Nate's going with the hot hand. He's going with Saquon Barkley, 7.3K. Kind of surprised to see him at that price point, given the week that he just had. Again, I'm kind of curious to see if he continues that pace or if that was just a flash in the pan, the old Barkley. So something to watch for, but Barkley at 7.3K, I would highly recommend that for your roster.
All right, so RB1, Tone has Antonio Gibson at 6.2. It's a pretty good pick. He, believe he led them in rushing and receiving last week. He was one of the running backs that Wentz got heavily involved in the past game.
Definitely. Anytime you can get a running back that catches out of the backfield, you got to love that. RB2, our guy Nate's going with Rashard Penny at 5.4K. This is a big DSA guy. I know you had a stat not too long ago that I think it was from week 12, 13. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but he led the NFL in fantasy basically after a certain point.
Yeah. So that's also Tone's RB2, Rashad Penny, 5.4K. It was week 13. He became the starter. And from there on till the end of the season, he was the number one fantasy running back.
Yeah. So at that price point, 5.4K, you can get a running back like that who can take over and lead for X amount of weeks, you got to love that. Next up, our guy Nate's going to be pairing his quarterback with his best friend, his former college teammate and roommate, Devontae Adams, 8.6K.
All right, wide receiver one, Tone has Debo Samuel at 7.8K, sorry. And this is surprising, the usage Debo got, because coming into the season, we thought he was going to strictly stick to wide receiver.
Yeah.
He ended up running the ball, and well, also, he was second on the team in rushing. And with Elijah Mitchell out, I think he's going to get more carries going forward.
Yeah, it was a very interesting game from Debo. I think we all expected him to, after that contract he got, to stay out of the backfield, more so just focus on catches. But yeah, right off the gate, getting his carries in, which definitely surprised me. So yeah, if that's someone you can afford, at least at this point, as long as he's continuing to get those carries, you should target Debo. For Nate's RB2, he's going with Christian Kirk at 5.7K. He's spent a decent amount of money on Devontae Adams at 8.6K, so you need to even that out with a lower-tier wide receiver that you think is still going to get some plays. And you mentioned that that's a wide receiver room that doesn't have a lot of names currently, so he's someone to consider.
Over for Tone's wide receiver two, he has Amon St. Brown. See, someone was going with my sleeper picks. He's got both of them on one team. Now, he doesn't have a price on this, but St. Brown was one of the best receivers second half of last season, and it rolled over in this week. He had a great week one.
Definitely. Definitely great week, great sleeper potential. Wide receiver three for Nate, Curtis Samuel, 4.6K. Again, just to reiterate, when you go top heavy with your wide receivers, like someone with 8.6K in Adams, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to spend that same amount of money down the line. So Curtis Samuel, 4.6K, he is someone who might not get a ton of plays, but he's explosive. He could have one or two really big plays to get you some points.
Yeah, he did all last week, running and receiving. For Tone's wide receiver three, he has Michael Thomas, 5.8K. Michael Thomas looked like he was back.
Yeah.
He did great last week. Let's hope he can keep that up.
Definitely. Michael Thomas is one of those players I would even kind of say with like Barkley as well. You probably won't see them at this price point again for the rest of the year, especially if they continue to play like they did. So Michael Thomas at 5.8K, that's great. And don't expect him to be this cheap next week. At tight end, our guy Nate is going with Denver's tight end, Big O, Albert O, 3.7K. Do you want to take a shot at his last name? Go ahead. Go for it.
Akwu Bunam. I don't know.
Nailed it.
Is that right? Yeah?
No, not at all, but
okay.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, well, apparently Tone can't say his last name either because he just has Albert O. So nice. You got Big O and Albert O from these two guys.
All right, well, we'll luck it in. Big Alberto for tight end for the LCP. He's at 3.7K. Yeah, pretty solid tight end, I'd say. You know, I mean, at that price point, I agree with it. In the flex, someone you mentioned earlier in this episode, Nate's going to be going with Hollywood Brown, 6.2K. He's expecting Kyler to look his way this week and get him some points.
Well, these guys do their research together because Tone's got Hollywood Brown in his flex also.
Yeah, another lock it in. The boys are expecting a big week from Hollywood Brown. They're looking for Kyler to get him involved this week. So hopefully Hollywood Brown can get you those points that you need. And lastly, we're going to lock it in one more time. The boys are going to the bottom of the barrel.
And if we had the soundboard, it would be cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
It'd be going nuts. The boys are both taking the Cincinnati Bengals at 2.2K for defense this week. Yeah, we had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 luck it ins as far as the DKs go. So the boys are both high on those guys. If you're looking to get into DK this week, those are five guys to consider. And real quick, before we close out this episode, we're going to go ahead and jump back to the what did he say. And I asked this question at the top of the show. I'll go ahead and read it back. The question was, which NFL quarterback holds the record for most passing touchdowns in a week one game? It was a little bit of a cheeky one. I won't lie. The boys are out of town. We kind of did it through TikTok, but we're going to go ahead and give it to Nate. Give it LCP2DSA0. It was a little bit of an easier one.
Yeah, that was definitely easy.
It was Peyton Manning. And who was that against? The Ravens?
Yeah, that was the year. It was Peyton Manning's second year. Ravens coming off Super Bowl win. Remember, they knocked Broncos out. It was a heartbreaking game.
Yeah.
Who's the safety's name? Raheem Moore.
Yep.
Let the ball go over his head. Ravens end up winning in overtime and win the Super Bowl. Yep. And Peyton got his revenge.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of a softball question. That was the year that Peyton Manning broke the touchdown records. He got a great start to the season. It's 2-0. I told the boys to expect some harder questions the further we get into the season. All right, brother. Well, that's going to conclude our episode for this week. As always, appreciate the trivia questions that you give us and appreciate you jumping on and running the episode with me. It was a good time, as always. Shout out to our guys, Tone and Nate. Wish you both well. Safe travels. Hope to see you both back here next week so that you can get back to giving us those expert sports betting advice picks that you guys give for us. Any words, thoughts, anything you're looking forward to? What do you got?
Well, I'm hoping for a better week two betting and a better week two from the fantasy teams I manage.
All right. Absolutely. That's all you can ask for. We're kicking it up on TikTok. We've been making one or two TikToks a day. So follow us on there. You can find us on Luck Changers Podcast. We appreciate all the interactions, follows, reposts, all that good stuff. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You guys already know the deal. You can email us, luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. We drop these on Spotify, Apple Podcast. We love the listens. We appreciate the feedback, the interactions, all that good stuff. So best of luck to all listeners in week two with the sports betting. We hope you guys make lots of money, and we hope that our picks bring you some luck. All right. That's it. Peace out.
Peace.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.